Hello and welcome to my channel, Vice Rhino here. Today, I decided to pull another video out of my butt. Kyle Butt, that is. This is another one of his Search and Creation series, where they pretend to do an internet search about something related to creationism, and then spout a few young Earth creationist talking points as though they are indisputable fact, and then move on. Well, today we dispute these indisputable facts. Let's go!
Young Earth creation. Now, many people in the scientific community, they've bought into the concept of the Big Bang.
Yeah, because it's where all the evidence points. It's actually amusing to me how creationists disagree on stuff sometimes. Yesterday's video had a Muslim creationist who was all about how the Big Bang proves that the universe began and therefore must have been created. Today, we have a Christian creationist dismissing the Big Bang as one of those ideas that secular scientists have bought into, but we creationists know better. It's just wild how convoluted various creationist mental gymnastics have to get in order to accommodate science denial.
And along with that, they've concluded that science teaches that the Earth is billions of years old.
Because it is billions of years old. Well, I'm tempted to quibble with your wording there. You see, science is a method of discovery, so it's not that science teaches that the Earth is billions of years old. Rather, it's that through the process of scientific inquiry, we have discovered that the Earth is billions of years old.
You know, many of these people suggest that it's ignorant to believe in anything other than the Big Bang.
Yeah, there is at least some ignorance involved, sure, but oftentimes it's not so much the ignorance that keeps them believing as the indoctrination.
And they believe that any person who says that the Earth is only a few thousand years old must be an unscientific, uneducated person.
Unscientific? Sure. Uneducated? Not necessarily. There are lots of educated people that believe very silly things. In fact, there's kind of a tongue-in-cheek diagnosis of Nobel disease, in which a Nobel laureate, usually in their later years after winning the Nobel Prize for some real and significant scientific discovery, ends up endorsing or researching a field of quackery. Probably the most famous case is Linus Pauling's endorsement of vitamin C for treating the common cold. It had been known for about 30 years prior to Pauling publishing his book on the subject that an increased dosage of vitamin C has no effect on the duration or severity of the common cold. To this day, largely because of Pauling's work, a lot of people reach for the orange juice as soon as they feel a cold coming on. The idea here is that along with an increase in academic achievement comes a risk of becoming too confident in your own conclusions, to the point where you don't see your biases as clearly as you should. That being said, evolution is one of the most agreed upon ideas in all of science. In a survey of members of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, 98% of all members agree that humans have evolved over time, and 99% of working PhD scientists and active research scientists agree. There isn't a single category on the list with a higher level of scientific agreement than evolution. So, yeah, you might find a few highly educated quacks who disagree, but they are an incredibly rare breed.
Is it true that those who believe that the universe was created by God only a few thousand years ago are ignorant and unscientific?
Not always, but often.
Truth is, no. Science isn't on the side of the Big Bang.
So, you have a better explanation for the cosmic microwave background radiation, the existence of which was predicted by the Big Bang model in the 1940s, some 15 years before it was actually observed? What is the creationist explanation for the CMB, I wonder? Well, according to this 2014 Answers in Genesis article by Dr. Danny Faulkner, creationists don't have an explanation. He also tries to question the origin of the CMB using a bunch of creationist papers as his sources, and I'm not going into a deep dive on them here, but I doubt they are any better than the usual creationist papers.
It's not on the side of the old Earth scenario.
Pretty much every single scientist who works in a field of study that would be affected by the age of the Earth agrees that the Earth is billions of years old. But the science isn't on their side, it's on the side of the few lone wolves who have to misquote and distort legitimate work in order to make it kinda sorta look like it might agree with the maybe when you look at it sideways.
When all of the scientific information is considered, the concept of a young Earth fits the evidence much better.
That statement is completely and utterly false. It would be hard to find a statement that is more wrong.
Amazing. Every word of what you just said was wrong.
Radiometric dating, dendrochronology, paleontology, astronomy, cosmology, geology, biology, archaeology. These are just a few of the many scientific fields of study that would not look anything like they do if your statement was actually correct.
For instance, when scientists look at the decay rate of Earth's magnetic field,
the Earth's magnetic field does not decay at anything even remotely resembling a constant rate, and this is something that can be directly measured in artifacts that can be dated using methods that even creationists can agree on. They are often dated by looking at the stamps on the pottery itself of the ruler who was in charge at the time. When the ceramic or clay pots are fired in a kiln, the particles of iron oxide in the clay would align with the Earth's magnetic field, and as the pot cooled, it freezes them in that orientation. By measuring these particles, we can determine the strength of the magnetic field, but not the orientation, you know, because pots don't sit still once they're done being made. From these measurements, we know that there was a huge spike in the magnetic field intensity around 700 BCE, but generally it was about 40% stronger than it is today. The field strength remained approximately constant between 1590 and 1840 CE, and has declined about 10% since then. So, yeah, it's not a constant, and as such, cannot be used to date the Earth.
Or the amount of sodium in the oceans.
Again, the assumption that the rate of minerals such as sodium dissolving into the ocean would be constant is on shaky ground. But in this case, it seems to be based on a claim by Henry Morris that the processes that remove salt from the ocean are not enough to account for the relatively low levels of salinity that we see in the ocean. The idea being that rivers bring salt into the ocean much faster than other processes remove it. The problem is, in making that calculation, more than 16 mechanisms for salt removal from the oceans were just completely ignored because they were relatively small. But collectively, they bring the salt removal up to about 38.1 times 10 to the 10th kilograms per year, which is a bit more than the 35.6 times 10 to the 10th kilograms of sodium that is added per year, according to the creationist paper. But the margin for errors on that are fairly large, meaning that likely it is approximately at equilibrium, which means that, best case scenario for the creationist argument, the amount of salinity in the oceans remains fairly steady over time, neither increasing nor decreasing, and so cannot be used as a clock to date the Earth. It's also worth mentioning that these calculations were performed on formations from the Miocene ocean, so they aren't necessarily the same as today.
Or the rate at which comets disintegrate.
The rate at which comets sublimate is completely irrelevant to the age of the Earth. Fast or slow, there is a huge supply of comet material in the Kuiper Belt and the Oort cloud that occasionally get knocked into the inner solar system. This argument is like saying if you go outside, grab a snowball, and bring it inside, the house can't be older than how long it takes the snowball to melt, because otherwise, how would the snowball be in the house? It's just completely unrelated, and there is a nearby supply of snow that will allow you to bring more snowballs into the house for plenty of more time than the original snowball could last.
Or the amount of helium and minerals.
So, this claim seems to originate from a pair of papers published by Humphreys, Austin, Baumgartner, and Snelling in 2003 and 2004. The idea was that helium is one of the products of radioactive decay, and it rather easily escapes the zircon crystals in which it forms. They analyzed some samples and found an excess of helium, more than should have been present based on radioactive decay. There are a number of problems with these papers, everything from sloppy math to incorrect identification of rock types to evidence of potential tampering with the dataset, but at the end of the day, if we assume that these papers are actually correct in everything that they say, they rely on three samples that were obtained in an area that is known to have a very complex thermal history and is very geologically active, such that accurate predictions about the amount of helium that should be present become essentially impossible. So the excess helium that they found could have been the result of contamination or could have been kept in the rock for longer than expected by being under extreme pressure. In addition to this, the proposed solution was that the flood increased the radioactive decay rates, creating a billion years worth of helium over a very short period of time, which, unfortunately for creationists, would have had the slightly problematic side effect of producing enough heat to vaporize the Earth. Best case scenario here, if they had done everything right, they found three samples which suggest that more study might be needed into helium retention in zircon crystals, which has zero impact on the measured age of the Earth.
You know, older scenarios just don't fit the data.
You have yet to present a single scenario that is not adequately explained in an old Earth. You also have yet to present a single scenario that requires a young Earth. So, care to revise your statement about which scenarios fit the data?
Furthermore, the historic information found in the most accurate ancient book in the world.
Okay, sure. The Bible is the most accurate history book ever written. Sure. Feel free to believe that. Never mind the complete lack of evidence for pretty much anything in the first five books ever actually happening. There's also the question of the historicity of many of the characters in the Bible. Like King David, there's not really much evidence for him outside of the Bible itself. And even if he was real, he likely didn't reign over united Israel, instead being more likely to be a local chief of a clan in Judah. There is no evidence for the unified Israel in that period that the Bible claims, but there's plenty of evidence for the divided northern and southern kingdoms. And that's not to mention all the internal inconsistencies, like the conflicting accounts of King Saul's death in the books of Samuel and Chronicles. 1 Samuel and Chronicles agree that he killed himself after his armor-bearer refused to kill him, while 2 Samuel has Saul leaning on a spear, injured, when an Amalekite finds him and kills him. Both of these accounts cannot be true, and there are all kinds of inconsistencies like this throughout the whole Bible. But yeah, it's the most accurate historical book ever written, sure.
If we were to ask if the concept of a young earth is a scientific idea, we'd find that numerous highly educated scientists advocate a young earth as the best explanation for the scientific data.
Numerous here, no doubt meaning a few dozen at most, out of the millions of scientists in the world.
Currently, I work with a man who has a PhD in astrophysics from the University of Alabama, a NASA employee with a PhD from MIT, a physicist with a PhD from Auburn University, and all of these individuals conclude that the scientific evidence supports a young Earth.
Okay, you found three. Good work, I guess? I'd think you could find more than that, though. After all, there are probably a few million PhD holders worldwide. And actually, let's get a bit more specific. According to the Kodak report of 2012, in 2010, there were some 211,000 PhDs granted collectively between the US, the EU, and Japan. Assuming the average lifespan of a PhD candidate has them living 40 years after receiving their doctorate, which, if you get your PhD at 40, has you dying at 80, seems reasonable to me, that means that if this number stays approximately constant, which it won't, it increases over time as the population increases, that means that at any given moment, there are about 8.4 million PhD holders in just the US, EU, and Japan. If just 0.05% of them were young Earth creationists, that would total over 4,000 PhD holders that are young Earth creationists. So, congrats on your three?
In the book In 6 Days, 50 scientists are on record who have doctor's degrees who contend that the scientific evidence points to the conclusion that an intelligent designer created the world in 6 literal 24-hour days.
Oh, my apologies. Clearly you're doing quite well for scientific support. You got 50 whole PhDs on your side. Wow, that's so amazing.
Wow!
That's, what, 0.0006% of all PhDs in my extremely conservative estimate of how many living PhDs there are in the world? Well done.
In fact, virtually every survey that's been done in the past several decades has shown that about 40% of all Americans believe that God created the universe in pretty much its present form about 10,000 years ago.
Oh, that's clever. The way you are presenting that makes it easy to extrapolate that 40% number to PhD holders as well, as though 40% of PhD holders believe in a young Earth. Except, as I pointed out earlier, 99% actually reject creationism, and that was with a margin of sampling error of plus or minus 1.7 to 2.9%, depending on which specific group we are looking at. Meaning that it is entirely within the margin of error to say that 100% of PhD holders accept evolution.
Young Earth creation fits perfect with all of the available scientific and historic evidence.
So perfectly that an estimated 0% of scientists accept young Earth creationism. Yeah, it's not exactly zero, but the actual number is so small as to be effectively zero.
Young Earth creation is a scientific, an accurate, a right idea.
So you have asserted, without providing any convincing evidence to back up that assertion, instead appealing to long-debunked creationist claims. That's it for this one. Today's comment of the day comes to us from Zombie Guy, who says, "If sex is a gift from God, then God doesn't own it anymore. Once you give a gift, you don't own it anymore. So God can't control how we use sex." That's a good point. If something truly is a gift, then when you give it, you relinquish control over how that gift is used by the receiver. If you have requirements on how they can use it, and they break those requirements, you will punish them, then it's not a gift at all. Thanks for watching. Special thanks as always to my patrons, Lynn Dobbs, Mark McManus, What Jesus, and all the rest, who are the diploma that you can actually really get from World Video Bible School that ensures the high-quality Bible knowledge that is my channel. If you'd like to memorize the least accurate parts of the Bible as though they are the most accurate, you can join us on Patreon for as little as $1 per week over at patreon.com/vicerhino. If you feel so inclined, you can also support the channel through direct donation or my Amazon wishlist, which are linked in the description. If you'd like to listen to my videos in podcast form, the link for that is also in the description, as well as links to my social media accounts and my P.O. Box address. See you next time!